So find that one. Then we're going to read a scripture from Zechariah, so you might want to reach over and find that one. Zechariah is just before Malachi. Malachi is just before Matthew. So if you back up from Matthew a couple of books, you'll find Zechariah. I know that's where the pages stick together sometimes a little bit, isn't it? In Ephesians 6, Paul said this. Just want to read the one verse. He said, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Then in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17, God is speaking, he's to Israel particularly, over Jerusalem. He said, "Proclaim further, this is what the Lord Almighty says. My towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. Then I looked up, and there were before me four horns. I asked the angel who was speaking to me, 'What are these?' He answered me, 'These are the horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem.' Then the Lord showed me four carpenters. And I asked, 'What are these coming to do?' He said, he answered, 'These are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could raise his head. But the carpenters have come to terrify them and to throw down these horns of the nations who lifted up their horns against the land of Judah to scatter its people.'" Now I want to talk to you this morning for a while about overcoming the limitations of life. Overcoming the limitations of life. Listen, we read over there in Ephesians, Paul said that we are in a battle. How many of you know that? I tell you, if you've been a Christian very long, you know that you're in a battle. And Paul made it very clear by the Spirit of God. He said that we do not struggle against flesh and blood. That no matter how much it may appear to be so, flesh and blood is not our problem. Are you listening? Yeah. The Democratic Party, the Republican Party, is not your problem. Are you listening to me? The moguls on Wall Street is not your problem. The people who made all the mistakes in the banking thing, whatever it is, the people of flesh and blood is not the problem. We are battling against spiritual forces. And now the conflict comes here, first of all, knowing that we have to fight against these spiritual forces. And you know what makes it difficult at first is, for one thing, they're unseen. And we have been mostly trained in our culture to walk by what we see. But the Bible over and over teaches us that we, as believers, we've got to learn a new way of thinking, a new way of living our life. And that is what we live by faith and not by sight. So the first thing we've got to understand is these unseen enemies are coming against our life, and their purpose is to limit us. They want to limit the revelation of God through your life to the world around you. They want to diminish the work of Jesus in your life. They want to diminish the work of faith, God's love, God's joy, God's peace. They want to diminish it. That's what they want to do. If they can take you out, great. But more importantly, they want to keep you beat down. They want to keep you bound up. They want to keep you tied up in your life so that your life will not reach its full potential in glorifying God. Now notice, there's also in this walk of faith, there's always a contradiction. There's the seen, there's the unseen. And how many of you know that most of the time, the seen and the unseen are not in harmony? God declared here, notice what God declared here over Jerusalem and Israel. He declared peace and prosperity. Notice what he said. He said, declare to them that they're, my towns are going to overflow with prosperity. And there's going to again come peace and comfort to Jerusalem. And as soon as he said that, notice what happened. There was these four horns that were raised up. Notice what he said. He looked up again. He said, there were before me four horns. Have you ever noticed? As soon as God, brings a promise to you. God speaks a word to you. God reveals His will and His promise to you out of His Word. He speaks to you by the Holy Spirit. He speaks to you a word of comfort, of peace, about the dream, about the destiny, about the purpose He has for your life. And it seems like, boy, you're so excited and you're thrilled over what you found in the Word, what the Holy Spirit has quickened to your heart. And there's an excitement and there's a joy and there's a faith. But have you know, immediately there's raised up against you these horns. And all of a sudden they come to stop the word of the Lord in your life. They come to squell and squash the dream and the purpose and the destiny of God. And so just like these four horns represented spiritual forces, nations coming against Israel, there are four horns. I want to talk about these four horns this morning and how they come against you and I to destroy what God has planned for our lives. These four horns. Now, here we understand that these four horns, they're not given a name, but I'm going to name them this morning. And I'm going to talk about them this morning. Now, they may can take on some other names in your life, but they're these four horns that we're going to talk about this morning. Here's what I'm calling them. Because God, how many of you, God has revealed to you His plan and purpose for your life? Well, you know, from the Scriptures we can share some things. God said, He said He's created you to be a brand new person. That old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Bible says that God has given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by them we may be partakers of God's divine nature. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible's declared that Jesus has defeated all of our enemies and they are to be under our feet. God has declared that we are to be people who possess the peace of God, the joy of God, the purpose of God, and we are to reveal that to those around us. He said, whatever you put your hand to will prosper. Listen, as your life becomes more and more a reflection of the life of Jesus, of the purpose of God, then more and more your life will make an impact around to those around you. Isn't that right? Listen, the more I become like Him, the more I reveal Him. Amen? So these four horns were raised up as an opposition against you. Now this spiritual principle is found in the teachings of Jesus as well, because He said that, remember in the parable of the sower, He said the sower sows the word, and what? Immediately who comes? No, immediately who comes? He said the devil comes. See, now we'd like to think, boy, you know, as soon as I get a word from the Lord, hallelujah, legion of angels come to help me. But Jesus said, somebody else, you're going to get some help. We're going to read about that. But somebody else comes along with the help. Along with the wheat, there's the tares. Along with the word comes somebody else. And that is the devil. It's what Jesus said. And so notice it says that God raised up the spirit of the carpenter. Now, isn't that an interesting term? You said, oh, this is seems to be a very esoteric scripture to be taking yeah, you know, a message from, but I want you to listen very carefully. Now, listen, the spirit of a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. You know, so you're in good company. And the spirit of a carpenter, these carpenters, God said He was sending them to come help you build up what the four horns are trying to tear down. This carpenter spirit is going to come to what? To encourage you and to help you and to help you overcome and to realize the call and the promise and the purpose of God for your life. Now these horns, we're going to be talking about them both as we go along. These four horns are unnamed, but I'm going to give them a name here. I'm going to call it the horn of lack, the horn of limitation, the horn of hindrance, and the devouring horn. The horn of lack, the horn of limitation, the horn of hindrance, and the devouring horn. And these four horns come to discourage and defeat you and to stop your destiny and revealing the God life in your life. Amen. God said these horns, as soon as the promise comes, these four horns, these spirits raise up against you and they're sent from the pit of hell. Remember we read over there in Ephesians, Paul said our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but he did say we have a struggle. And it is against what? Evil spirits. And these four horns represent four spirits, evil spirits, that were sent literally here against Jerusalem, but they also represent the opposition that comes against us as soon as we rise up and say, bless God, I'm following God. I'm going to give God my whole life. I'm going to follow God with all that I am, that all that I have. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to believe God for God's best in my life, that God is going to use my life, that I'm going to be a vessel that God will pour himself into and pour himself through. As soon as you make that kind of decision and purpose in your life, guess what? Along with God, somebody else shows up. And the enemy will do his best to discourage you. He wants to diminish you, discourage you. He wants to squeeze you into a small place. Now, the first horn here that we mentioned is the horn of lack. Now, the horn of lack, this spirit, it says, you know, that all you're going to be able to do is reach for this small level, the minimum. The minimum. I remember when I first started working my first job, you know what I got paid? It wasn't $100,000 a year. I wish. Guess what I got paid? The minimum wage. Are you listening to me? Well, there's nothing wrong with starting out there, but here's the thing. This spirit and the force behind this spirit and the thinking behind this spirit and the influence behind this spirit wants to come upon God's people, and he wants to keep you at the minimum. Yeah. Yep. He wants to keep you. Okay, you got saved. Okay, well, that's good enough. You're going to get in. You're going to make it to heaven. Yeah. Maybe. He adds a maybe. But he wants to keep you at the minimum. He wants to beat you down. And you know, as soon as somebody comes along and says, God's got a big plan and a big dream for you, you want to grab a hold of it. You want to believe it, but it's just so hard because you've been conditioned. It's the minimum. You've been conditioned to the minimum. Some people have gotten so used to lack that they think it's the norm. And as soon as anybody talks about abundance or more than enough, in whatever area of life it is, they think that's strange. They think that's just for the very small percentile of people. That's for the, name your favorite, whoever. That's for the Joyce Myers of the world. That's for those. It's not for you. That's not for you. And that spirit wants to come and it wants to keep you as the minimum. And as soon as you say, bless God, you hear the word of God, you're reading the word, or you hear it talk, and something strikes a chord in your spirit, and you say, bless God, I'm going to rise up, bless God, and I'm going to do this. That old minimum spirit comes on you again. That old thinking of lack comes on you again. You know, I call it this. You know what's happening? You're having a lack attack. That's what's happening. You're having a lack attack on your life. And it's not just that you can't maybe pay your bills, but you may have a lack of peace, a lack of joy, a lack of faith, a victory in your Christian walk. But it's a lack attack. And he wants to convince you that that is all that you can ever be. That's all you can ever have. That's all God can ever use you is at the minimum level. Oh, don't you even think about being on the worship team. Don't you even think about sharing your testimony. Don't you even think about doing anything. Why, God's not going to give you a promotion at work. The very idea, where did you ever come up with that idea? That's not for you. That's for these other people, but it's not for you. And he wants to come and he wants to beat you down. He wants to get you to settle for the minimum. So I'm asking you this morning, are you settling for the minimum? You need to listen, you cannot fight a foe that you don't even know he's attacked you. Doesn't even know he's attacked you yet. And listen, if you're dealing in lack in any area, whether it's in your soulish area, your emotions, whether it's in the spirit, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in your finances. Listen, that is an attack of one of these spirits. This horn of lack has come against you, and you need to rise up and begin to declare over your life and over your circumstance, this is what God Almighty has said. Because the weapons of our warfare in this battle, they are not natural. You cannot roll up your sleeves and get in the arena like you are a boxer with the devil. But you can take up the two-edged sword, the Word of God, and begin to declare it out of your mouth and say, lack, you be gone in my life. The Word of God declares that I'm the head and not the tail. The Word of God declares that I'm above only and not beneath. The Word of God declares I'm blessed coming in and going out. God's hand is upon me. He has chosen me. All things have passed away. Lack may have been in my life before, but now that I belong to God, there is abundance in my life. Abundance of peace, abundance of joy, abundance of victory. And I will not allow the lack attack to stay in my life. Amen? You got to rise up against it. See, this is why I always encourage you, do not let a passive spirit get on you. Because if you get passive in your faith, passive in your love for God, then what happens is you will end up, these spirits will attack you and you will just end up settling for it. Well, I guess this is just the way God wanted it. If God wants me to have more, then that'll be fine with me. But if God wants me to just stay down here, that'll be all right. Well, why would God tell you one thing, but yet do another? God's not schizophrenic. He's not double-minded. As a matter of fact, the Bible commands us not to be double-minded. So if God doesn't want you and I to be double-minded, He's certainly not double-minded. He's not going to say one thing in His Word, and then He wants you to experience the total opposite of that. He's already declared. I don't have to. You know, if you look at your circumstances to measure the will of God, then I'm going to tell you what, you're always going to be in trouble. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Because you got to walk by faith. We look at our life and we say, well, I guess this is what God wants for my life. Well, if that was true, then, you know, look at all the great heroes of faith. What would they have done? Think about Abraham. God gave him a promise for a child for 24 years. He didn't have it. Why didn't he just throw in the towel and say, well, I guess if God wanted me to have it, why didn't he, you know, I don't have it. God wanted me to have it, but he didn't give up on his faith. He didn't give up on his dream. He didn't let go of the Word of God, the promise of God that he had given him. He did not settle for the minimum. Are you listening to me? And sometimes I've been there. Sometimes, man, it seems like everything's come against you. This horn comes against you and it beats on you. It beats on your family. It beats on your finances. It beats on your dream. And you feel like you want to just give up. You've never been there. I know. You want to just throw in the towel and give up. You know, but here's the thing. You got to allow something, the Spirit of God, to rise up within you. You got to begin to say something out of your mouth. You got to begin to speak God's Word. You got to begin to let faith arise within you and declare that lack, this horn of lack, will not prevail. God has sent the Spirit of the carpenter. The Spirit of His Son is dwelling in me. And greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I don't care whatever lack may have been in my life. I am a brand new person. I belong to the King of Kings now, and I am not settling for the minimum in my life. I rebel against the minimum. I rebel against the horn of lack. And I declare the Spirit of the carpenter is upon me and is working for me. The horn of lack. The other one is the horn of limitation. This is when you're being held down. In other words, you've embraced some of the truths of God's Word. You know that God says, you know, He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have victory. God wants to meet your needs. You know these things. He's the God that works miracles. But yet, it's not true in your life. Boy, is there anything more frustrating? I know nobody here has ever been there, so I'll share my personal. You know, because it can be so discouraging. You read what the Word of God says. You read the promises of God. You hear the glorious testimonies of others who've experienced it. And yet you look in your life and it seems like it's not happening here, Lord. It's not happening in my life. I don't understand what's going on. Well, the first thing you need to understand is the horn, this spirit of limitation, has been released against your life to keep you limited. You know, I was reading about in National Geographic, there was this guy who had trained an elephant. He had this big bull elephant. You ever seen these big bull elephants, you know, on the Animal Planet or National Geographic? You know, got the big horns coming. I mean, this full-grown boy. Big old horn. And so he had a small rope tied to one of his legs, and it was tied to a little old cement block. And that elephant, when he'd pull, he'd start walking. He'd feel that just that little bit of pull on that block, he'd stop. He'd walk the other way, and he'd come to the end of the rope the other way. He'd feel at least a little pull on that block. He'd stop. And the guy that trained him said, now here's how we do it. We take this elephant when they're very young. And he said, we tie it with a chain to a block mounted in the ground. And they pull and tug and struggle and do everything they can. But at that age, they're just not able to pull that thing. They can't pull it loose. And he said, they do it and do it. And he said, there finally comes a day when they just stop trying. And then that thing grows up to that big elephant. And he said, then we just put a rope, not a chain, and just that block, not even mounted anywhere, which he could pull. I mean, he could pull that thing. I mean, those guys, they could. You ever seen a video or something, or, you know, of an elephant going wild? Boy, you don't want to be around. I mean, they knock over trees, turn over, stomp cars. I mean, they're. But what? He had the limitation, had been built into him. That's what this spirit does. It builds a limitation into us. You know, maybe when we come to the Lord, we had been conditioned, just like that little baby elephant. The spirit of limitation had conditioned us. Said, you can't rise up big. You can't rise up to any. You can't aspire to be any more. I mean, nobody in your family's ever gone, you know, had a high school education. Nobody's ever gone to college. Nobody's ever amounted to anything. And you're not going to either. You can't do it. Yeah, you're talking about God's going to do this and God's going to do that. And God's giving you this dream for a business or this or that or the other. Or God's giving you certain talents. You can't do that. You're never going to be able to do that. You can't rise up above that. Grace, you're never going to grow. You can't do it. You're not going to make any difference. Why you think you do? You old pitiful. Come on. The spirit of limitation wants to get on you. And he tries to do that. You think, you know, you see everybody else, you see in the Word, but you know, immediately the thought comes, yeah, but that's not for me. And so it doesn't matter. Maybe you, when you came to Jesus, maybe there were limitations in your life of addictions of all kinds. Maybe limitations on your thinking that this Spirit had built into you. But the Bible says you're a brand new creature. Amen. You're a brand new creature. You belong to God now. Amen. You are old things, the old limitations. God said they're off of you. Don't let that wrong thinking keep you tied to that little cinder block. It's nothing compared to the God that lives in you. And He can break that bondage and break those addictions. He can break the limits in your life. You know, back in 1954, there was a guy named Roger Bannister. Anybody ever heard of him? In athletics, at that time in 1954, everybody was saying the 4-minute mile could not be broken. I mean, the expert, everybody, all the athletic coaches, all the experts, everybody said it is humanly impossible to break the 4-minute mile until he did it. Roger Bannister, he was the first one that did it. And when he did it, this is the interesting thing. The next year, 30 more people did it. And the year after that, 300 people did it. See, when you get breakthrough in your life, it will help others begin to believe and inspire. Hey, I can have breakthrough too. So it's not just about you, although it is, but it's also about others. When people see God working in your life, when people say, hey, you know what? Praise God, they rose up in God. They used the faith God gave them. They took the Word of God. They persevered. They took prayer. They took the weapons. They took the name of Jesus. They rose up in the dream and in the purpose and plan of God. And they began to see it achieved and it began to happen. And you know, all of a sudden, somebody else will say, bless God. Hey, if they can break the 4-minute mile, I can. If they can realize their dream, I can. Because the same God that's in them is in me. God is no respecter of persons, is He? This is what God wants to do. We're talking about these horns that the enemy sends, these spirits that the enemy sends against you. The spirit of limitation. He wants to limit you. And you know, many times, you know, if you go to the doctor for a checkup or something, you know, one of the things usually he has you do is what? Stick out your tongue. You know, why does he do that? Do you know the doctor? Because when they look at your tongue, they can tell a lot of times what the your health is, what the status of your health is by looking at your tongue, can't it? The doctor looked at it and he said, hey, you know. But you know what? I think God's saying to some of us, You know, you need to stick out your tongue and let me see, what have you been saying? The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. And I thank God, it's kind of like saying that to us. He said, stick out your tongue here. Open your mouth and say, ah. I want to say, what have you been saying? Now, here's the thing. See, we've got to be careful. We're not coming into agreement with the wrong person. A lot of us, we've been trained to get into agreement with the spirit of lack, with the spirit of limitation. And we parrot what that thing is telling us. We parrot what it's conditioned us. And we, you know, we're just like the children of Israel, fresh come out of Egypt, where they say, we can't. We can't. We can't go in. We can't overcome. And not only it would be bad enough if that spirit just said we can't, but they came to the place where they got so conditioned, they said, we don't believe the Lord can either. Can the Lord? Can the Lord? We can't. Can the Lord? We can't. And you know, I know many people who are more in tune, and I'm not being critical, but many Christians are more in tune what the spirit of lack and limitation is saying than what God's saying. So let the great physician, as we love to call him, let him give you an examination whereby you open your mouth and say, ah, to God. Let him look at your tongue and see, what have you been saying? What are you saying over your life? Yeah. And I want to tell you, when you first start saying God's trying to, you're overcoming this spirit of limitation and lack, I'm going to tell you what, it will ring hollow. The words you speak, they don't seem true. They don't seem real. They don't seem like they have any power because you're so used to thinking and saying what those two spirits have trained you all these years. But what you've got to do is you've got to keep speaking God's word. You've got to keep declaring God's promise, who you are, what God has done in you, how the greater one's living in you, how the dream and the purpose of God will be fulfilled. You keep speaking that and speaking that, and all of a sudden, faith begins to arise. All of a sudden, your mind begins to be renewed. All of a sudden, the dream begins to say, bless God, yes, I can see that. I can see how God can do that. I can see how that can come to pass. Bless God, as a matter of fact, it's got to. And stop speaking all this other junk that the enemy tries to feed all of us. Amen? Man, listen. I'm just, you know, I'm going to feed on the good stuff of God. Why feed on the swill the devil wants to give you? Feed on the good stuff. You know, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Get some of that beefsteak of the Word. Get the Word of God in you. Begin to fight against the spirit of limitation. Another horn is the horn of hindrance. The horn of hindrance. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul gives us some insight as to naming this one. I kind of let Paul name this one. 1 Thessalonians 2, 18. He says, Paul speaking, he said, for we wanted to come to you, certainly, I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan hindered or stopped us. Now here's the great apostle Paul, caught up into the third heaven, saw Jesus on different occasions in visions, in dreams. He said he heard things. Listen, Paul didn't even write down everything he knew, because he said, I heard things in heaven. He said, it wasn't lawful for me to repeat. Remember reading that over there? He wrote down what the Spirit of God told him to write down. He wrote nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. I mean, he was a mighty man. But he said, this spirit that we're talking about, this spirit of hindrance, Satan, he said he hindered us. He hindered us. And you know what? Many times we don't realize and we don't understand how many times when God speaks a word to us, when God gives us a direction, when God gives us a purpose and a plan, that the enemy, the spirit of hindrance, just like Paul experienced, you're going to experience that too. Where he's going to come and he's going to try to delay and hinder you and hold back God's best for your life. And see, here's what we got to understand. And we got to be able to discern. When the enemy is doing this, we don't sit back and just say, well, I guess this is the will of God. It wasn't the will of God for Satan to hinder Saul, Paul. No way. Didn't God tell him, go into all the world? Well, why would God say go into all the world, and then it was God's will to send somebody to keep him from doing it? No, the enemy will come against you. The spirit of hindrance will rise up against you. And in your pursuit of God and his purpose, and what he wants to do is, like Paul said, he wants to jab and hit and pummel you and beat you with the circumstance of life. He comes against you. He comes with the spirit of discouragement against you. He'll manipulate circumstance and things will come against you. I mean, he'll bring certain people by your path. And they won't be to encourage you. I was talking to I was meeting with a missionary yesterday, come through town, called me up, wanted to meet with me, and I had some fellowship shared with him. And I told him this, young man, 38, getting started in on the mission field. Well, he's been there a few years, but he's, everybody that age to me is getting started. But anyway. But, I told him this. I said, you know what? I said, there are always going to be critics. But I said, here's what I found out in life. I said, you'll never meet critics out on the lake walking with you. They're always in the boat. Hello? You'll never meet a water-walking critic. They're all in the boat. They're all in the boat. And as soon as you step out and try to accomplish what God's put in your heart, there will always be the critics that tell you, yeah, you shouldn't do this, you should do that, you should do it a different way. Well, I think it should be that. And I want to tell them, listen, you climb down out of the boat first, and then maybe I'll listen to you. But if you're in the boat, you've never walked on the water, at least I may get wet, and I may be a wet water walker, but at least I'll get to the place where I walk on the water. Amen? Amen? But this hindering spirit, that's what he wants you to do. Be careful. Don't take any risks. Go the path of least resistance. Take it easy. I wouldn't do that if I was you. Oh, you better be careful. What if you miss God? Listen, I'd rather miss God trying to do something for God than my whole life miss God because I'm jockeying around in the boat for a better, more comfortable position. At least I'm going to have this much say, God, I got out of the boat. I got out of the boat. God, I pursued the dream. I pursued what you put in my heart. Bless God, I may have fell on my face 50 million times, but I'm getting back up. The prophet said over there, he said, though I fall, he said, do not rejoice over me, my enemy, for my God will lift me up. Isn't that right? I never have read after anybody who was honest that was a success in life, whatever realm it may be, that didn't get there by falling on their face and making some mistakes. This hindering spirit, he will try to keep you. Don't do this and don't do that. And watch out for this and watch out for that. Listen, you need to rise up and say, bless God, I'm going to pursue the dream. I'm going to pursue the call of God, the purpose of God in my life. I am going to see God's best. I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to let this spirit, hold me back and hinder the call and the purpose of God in my life. I'm going to rise up and do it. And remember, God said he's going to send that carpenter spirit. And you never seen a carpenter that didn't have a hammer. No carpenter worth his salt won't have a hammer. And I'm going to tell you what, these spirits, these carpenter spirits, they've got a hammer. And they're going to begin to hammer and to beat against those hindrances and those mountains that the enemy have put up against you. They're going to break them up. Like they used to say in prison, they're going to make little ones out of big ones. They're going to take their hammer and they're going to begin to pound and they're going to begin to break. And God's going to begin to make a way for you. Yes. Just like he told Zerubbabel, when Zerubbabel coming back in as governor and restoring Jerusalem there, he said, say to the mountain, oh mountain, be removed. Isn't that right? Cry to the mountain, grace, grace. Who are you, O great mountain, that will stand against my king, my servant Zerubbabel? And you know what? God's saying the same thing. He's saying to the mountain, to this mountain of hindrance, this spirit of hindrance that's coming against you, he's saying, oh, spirit of hindrance, who are you to stand before my servant Rick or Andrea or Dwayne or Faith? Who are you to stand against my servant? Because I send my spirit, the carpenter, out, and he's got a hammer. Woo! He knows how to use it too. Look over in Proverbs 24 real quickly. Oh, hallelujah. These spirits may be coming against you, but the Bible said they'll come against you one way and they'll flee from you seven ways. Isn't that right? 24:16, listen to this. Though a righteous man fall seven times, he rises again. Hallelujah to God. You know, seven in the Bible, the number seven is the number of what? Perfection. Completeness or perfection. So bless God, I'm going to keep getting up until God has finished and completed what He's begun in me. Amen. 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 Until God's through with me, I keep getting back up. Yeah. I keep getting back up. Yeah. You know, Thomas Edison, you know, great inventor. One of the things he invented is what we're enjoying this morning, which is the light bulb and the filament in it. And you know, it said, you know, you read after him, he tried several thousand things before he found the right one. What if he'd given up after the first thousand? Been in trouble. Somebody else, I guess, would have discovered it. But, you know, it wouldn't have been him. You know, and people asked him, they said, well, what, how did you do about that? You know, and he used to say this. He said, you know, he said, everybody called him a genius. He said, yeah, genius. He said, here's my definition of genius. 2% inspiration, 98% perspiration. In other words, you got to get up and you got to go after it. You got to put one foot in front of the other. You got to believe that God is going to be just like He led Abraham. He said, I'm going to take you into a land that I will show you. And you're going to climb over rocks and you're going to meet mountains and you're going to afford rivers and you're going to do all these things. But here's the thing, you're going to know this, God is with me, God is for me, and I am well able to go in and possess the dream. And then the last horn, the devouring horn. Now, these other horns, these spirits seem to be more of a direct resistance against you. This devouring horn is a little more subtle. And you read about the devouring spirit, this devouring spirit and horn in Malachi 3, where he comes in and what he wants to do is kind of like, you know, he's kind of like guerrilla warfare. You know, where you begin to experience some breakthroughs, you begin to experience some of the blessings of God, you begin to see God's plan and purpose for your life unfolding a little bit, but it still seems like you can't really make that big breakthrough into the fullness of God that you know He has for you that's there, because it seems like, you know, this devouring spirit. You get ahead a little bit financially and boom, something happens. Get a little ahead a little bit spiritually, boom, something happens. There's an attack that comes against you. An attack on your marriage or attack on your finances or somebody or one of your children or something happens. Something comes there. And what we have to recognize, that is the devouring spirit. That He's come to discourage you and to eat up the progress that you have made and that you are making in God. He comes to steal. Remember what Jesus said? We know who that spirit is, don't we? He says, Satan comes, what? But for to steal, kill, and destroy. Isn't that right? And that's what this devouring spirit wants to do. You know, it's like you make some progress, but then here he comes along, bam, he wants to hit you and keep you from doing it. So what we need to do is we need to rise up in our authority. And you know, one of the ways in Malachi, he teaches us, he said, one of the ways that we defeat that devouring spirit is by being faithful to God in our giving. That's what he said. You read over there. He said, you bring the tithe into the storehouse. And he said, I'm going to rebuke the devouring spirit. I'm going to rebuke that spirit. And he said, you'll be called a delightsome land. You know, in their day, they were agrarian. If they were farmers, you know, that would mean just about the time they had a good crop about to come in, here comes a whole flock of locusts or whatever, the swarm of locusts come in and strip it down. Or just about the time it looked promising, man, you know, that something was, you know, the crop was going to come in good, all of a sudden, bam, no more rain. Ah, here come the drought. Seemed like something, you know, just about the time you seem like you're going to get ahead, something always seems to happen. I just don't know. I guess that's just the way it is. I guess that's just the way my life's supposed to be, Pastor. You better go for a checkup and stick that tongue out. Isn't that right? That's not what God wants for you. God wants His best for you. Listen, we don't get there overnight. I understand that. But here's the thing. I am not going to allow these hindering spirits to beat me up and beat me down and to discourage me and to hold back the purpose and the plan of God for my life. I am going to pursue God. I am going to pursue His plan and His purpose for my life. I'm going to see the promises that Jesus suffered for. Man, I don't want Jesus to have suffered in vain. I want the fullness of God's salvation, the fullness of God's redemption to be realized in my life. I want to honor God in my life. I want to be fruitful in my life. I want to be more and more like Jesus in my life. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, God said this. He said to counteract the horns, these horns that have been raised against you. He said, I have sent forth the Spirit of the Carpenter. The Spirit of the Carpenter. The Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of the Carpenter. And He will give you all the tools that you need to defeat the enemy. Amen? He will give you all the tools. The promises of God. The name of Jesus. The authority of the believer. The blood of Jesus. The covenant that God's given us. He will give you all the tools you need. He will show you how to become skillful in using them and applying them. He will bring encouragement to you. The spirit of faith will rise up in you. But here's the thing. You've got to initiate it. You've got to stand up and say, bless God, enough is enough in my life. I am not going to settle for second best. I'm not going to settle for the minimum. Bless God, I'm telling you, that spirit is not going to hold me back by some little old block. This little old thing is not going to bind me any longer. This thing that's been in my life, this bondage that's been in my life, no longer will it hold me. I declare in Jesus' name, I'm going to rise up with the Spirit of the Carpenter. And I rise up in faith today. I rise up in courage today. I rise up in the name of Jesus today. And the limitations and the lack are going to be broken off of my life. Amen. This is what God wants for us. Listen. Remember what Jesus, he spoke to Peter. He said, remember, he said, Peter, he said, I prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And he said, after you're strengthened, he said, go strengthen your brothers. That's what he told him. And you know, here's the thing. After God works in your life, you will be able to go and do something in someone else's life. And ultimately, that is our goal. That I want God to work in me in such a way that my light shines. That the love of God, the grace of God, the power of God works in my life that will help others realize their God-given potential. Amen?
Amen.
You know, outside these walls, or people we call them lost people. You know. They're lost from what? From their connection to God. They're lost from realizing their full potential in God. They're lost from being embraced by the love of God and the grace of God. All the things we've talked about today, they are lost from that. And you know what? We are in the process, or should be as believers, of regaining what was lost. It begins in a new birth, but it doesn't end there. It's ongoing. And we are regaining back everything that we had lost. And once we have been converted, once we have been strengthened, what do? We go out and share the good news with them. Listen, you can regain everything. You can regain it all. You can have God in your life again. You can have grace, the grace of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. You can have the promises of God, the provision of God. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan for you. All this is from God. All this is for you. And it won't cost you a penny. All you got to do is make a decision. I'm tired of life as it is. I want it differently. I want it differently. You know, I can remember God dealing with me just before I got saved. You know, there came a realization in me that there had to be more to life. Man, I was so jaded. You know, all the stuff we did that we thought was so much fun and got all our kicks on and everything, it just became jaded. You know, there wasn't enough drugs to do, enough alcohol to drink. There was, you know, whatever we were going to do, just wasn't enough of it anymore. It just jaded. And, I think that's the when I really begin to realize, hey, you know what? There's more. There's more. And, you know, in a similar way as believers, we can come to a place to where, you know, thank God, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, and I'm so glad for that. And God has been good in my life, and I'm glad for that. But we reach a level, and I think God brings us this place where it's kind of like that again. We're like, I'm kind of jaded where I'm at in God, you know? I mean, this is good. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that. But it's like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're in that position, you're in a great place. You're in a place because you're in a place of hunger. You're in a place where you're going to be driven to pursue. You know what? You're going to begin to fight against all these hindering spirits that have been sent against you that want to hold you back. God's saying, you don't have to stay where you're at. You don't have to stay in that place of discontentment. You don't have to stay in that place of discouragement. You can rise up today in me and make a choice and make a decision. Would you stand on your feet, please? The Bible says that Jesus has come that we might have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. Ongoing, ever increasing life. In God. That's what God has for us. And any time these spirits hold us back, we begin to feel within us something's not quite right. There's more. There's more. There's more. Would you bow your heads just for a minute, close your eyes? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's what I'm sensing. That's what I'm sensing in my life. I know that there's more. I know I'm saved. I'm thankful for my salvation, and I love it. I know God. I'm going to heaven. But there's something that is an unsettledness in me. There's something in me that says there's more. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray over you. Lots of people. This is part of the growth, the progress in God. The progress in God. Because if you don't come to recognize this, if you don't, this doesn't become aware, then you just sit down on the highway of your Christian life. Now, Father, you see the hands here. You see them, Lord. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, you give them great discernment, Father, and that, Father, the hindering spirits that may have come against them, that have stopped them, that have limited them, that have brought lack in their life, whatever that spirit may be, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that, Father, they will rise up in the spirit of the carpenter. They will rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit. And, Father, they will resist. They will come against, Father, every spirit that has attacked their life. Father, they will rise up and shake themselves like Samson of old. They will shake themselves out of their stupor. They will shake themselves out of discouragement, out of complacency. And Father, they will stir up again the gift of God within them. And they will declare, O God, before you that they are moving forward out of lack, out of limitation. They're going to resist and break out of hindrances that the enemy has put up there. Father, we are going to move forward. Lord, I declare as a church, we are moving forward in Jesus' name. Limitations, you are broken off of Grace Community Church in Jesus' name. You spirit of lack and hindrance, you are broken. We resist you in Jesus' name. We declare that God's purpose and plan will come forth. The divine destiny will come forth. We will make a difference. We will reap the harvest. We will realize the plan and the purpose of God for us as a people. As a church, we thank you, O God, in Jesus' name. We are the people of God. We can do what you've called us to do. We are well able to possess the land in the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Heads bowed for a moment longer. If you're here this morning, And you say, Pastor, I don't know. I'm not sure if I were to die, if I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure if I'm really saved, if my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure about my salvation, my relationship with God. But before I leave, I want to be sure about it. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I want to be sure and I would like for you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand anywhere in the auditorium? I'm looking around for a hand anywhere. I see one hand there. Thank you. Anyone else?